Hello, I'm R.A. Spratt. I write and perform this podcast. If you'd like to support the show, I'm a children's author, so you can buy a book by me, or you can buy me a coffee by going to buymeacoffee.com/storiesrasspratt. It's an easy way to make a small thank you gift to the show so I can keep kicking this can down the road. The podcast directory you're using right now should have a link to my Buy Me a Coffee page in the show notes, or you can type it into your browser. That's buymeacoffee.com/storiesrasspratt. All contributions are gratefully appreciated. Hello and welcome to Bedtime Stories with me, R.A. Spratt. Today we're coming to you live from the Pump House Theatre in Auckland, New Zealand. Yay! The story we're doing today is The Legend of Lancelot, as told by Nanny Piggins. Here we go. Nanny Piggins, Boris and the children were gathered around the kitchen table, drinking hot chocolate and eating cake after a long day at school. The children were studying Celtic mythology and they had asked Nanny Piggins to help them with their homework. Nanny Piggins knew a great deal about world history and mythology because she had a large extended family and one of her relatives was almost always there at the relevant time. And thus, the true events had been passed down from generation to generation in Piggins' family oral history. Admittedly, the true events rarely correlated with the historically recorded events. But the truth of what Nanny Piggins did on a day-to-day basis was impossible to believe, and the children had actually witnessed that. So the idea that her distant relatives had spent their time defying logic, gender roles, and the laws of physics seemed to them to sneak into the realms of just barely believable plausibility. Besides, Nanny Piggins' stories were always good stories, and it's always a mistake to let reality intrude on a good tale. "We're going to be studying the story of Lancelot and Guinevere," said Derek. "Really? Well, the first thing you need to understand is that Lancelot was a dreadful fool," began Nanny Piggins. "He was?" asked Derek. "Oh, indeed," said Nanny Piggins. "Also, Lancelot was a pig." "A pig?" prompted Michael. "Regrettably, yes," said Nanny Piggins. "I suppose he was impossibly good-looking and incredibly brave, both classic pig characteristics. But he was also unceasingly foolish and vain. But the main reason people assume he was a human is because no pig has been in a hurry to correct them." "You'd better tell us the whole story," said Derek. "I will," said Nanny Piggins. "It all began about 1,000 years ago in the ancient Celtic story days. You may remember the story of my dear cousin, Arthur Piggins. Oh yes, she was the one who was so desperate to cut a slice of cake, she pulled a sword from a stone and accidentally became queen of all the Britons," recalled Michael. "Yes, that's right," said Nanny Piggins. "Well, this story takes place a few years after that. Arthur became queen, she did a good job, everyone loved her. After a few years, Arthur had a beautiful daughter called Guinevere." "Hey, wait a minute, I thought Guinevere was married to Arthur," said Derek. "That's what the traditional story says." "Yes, there are many dreadful mistakes in the history books, especially the mythological ones. You see, back in the ancient Celtic story days, very few people could read and write, so authors could get away with anything. If they couldn't spell a word, they just wouldn't use it. So perhaps the writer couldn't spell daughter, so they made Guinevere a wife, because there were less letters, you see. Anyway, Arthur was married to a very nice dentist from Pudsey called Gerald. He was very conscientious about his dentistry, but he doesn't pop up much in any of the stories because, as you can imagine, back in the ancient Celtic story days, before toothbrushes and toothpaste had been invented, people had a lot of tooth trouble. So there was a lot of work for dentists to do. So Gerald worked long hours and he wasn't at the castle much. But their daughter Guinevere was a lovely young woman. She was, in fact, a great scholar and intellectual. "Oh, really? What was her field of study?" asked Derek. "Science, medicine, engineering?" "Oh, no, something much more important," said Nanny Piggins. "Cookie baking. She was the world's leading expert on the deliciousness level caused by adjusting chocolate chip to dough ratio in a chocolate chip cookie." "Really?" said Michael. "Yes, she was the scientist who made the most important breakthrough in cookie-based science the world has ever known," said Nanny Piggins. "What was that?" asked Michael. "She discovered that to achieve ultimate levels of deliciousness in a chocolate chip cookie," said Nanny Piggins, "you need to make the cookie 100% out of chocolate chips." The children paused to consider this for a moment. They did think about pointing out the logical flaw in the statement, but decided against it. Anyway, this is the story of Lancelot, said Nanny Piggins, so we better start talking about him. It all started with Lancelot being born. He was a lovely little baby. To be fair, most babies are. They do tend to cry a great deal, but really, with babies, that's their only character flaw.
There's nothing wrong with being in touch with your emotions, said Boris.
No, dear, said Nanny Piggins, kindly patting Boris's hand. Anyway, shortly after he was born, the Lady of the Lake, who was a fairy queen from a mystical fairy land, although her mystical fairy land was the bottom of a lake, so I struggle to imagine how mystical that could be. Anyway, she came and took baby Lancelot.
She took a baby? Said Derek.
Yes, people did that a lot in the ancient Celtic story days, said Nanny Piggins. Taking babies and pulling swords out of stones were both recurring themes.
His mother must have been devastated, said Samantha.
Yes, I suppose she must have been, said Nanny Piggins. The story doesn't dwell on that much, though. Most likely because it's too depressing to imagine. The story skips straight to the glamorous bits. Lancelot was taken to the fairyland where the Lady of the Lake lived, and she raised him as her own. Naturally, having all the fairy magic and the fairy food, a diet which I assume consisted mainly of fairy bread and fairy floss, Lancelot grew up to be the strongest, best-looking and bravest child in the world.
But he must have been lonely, said Samantha, to be the only human child living in a fairy land.
Oh, no, said Nanny Piggins. The Lady of the Lake thought of that. She stole three other babies to keep him company. So Lancelot had three other boys to play with.
That's dreadful, said Samantha.
Yes, now you mention it, it is, said Nanny Piggins. It really is. The wizard Merlin took Arthur when she was a baby too. There was a tremendous amount of baby theft back in those days. The Lady of the Lake was quite an odd lady, mainly because she lived at the bottom of a lake in North Wales, which is not a warm country. It must have been very unpleasant to be wet the whole time. But when someone is a magical baby stealer, I guess no one wants to criticize them just in case she steals their baby too. Anyway, because of the magic, and to hurry the story along, having been stolen, Lancelot grew up and became a man in just 3 years. And when he did, Lancelot was super handsome, super brave, and super handsome.
You just said super handsome twice, Michael pointed out.
Yes, that's how handsome he was, said Nanny Piggins. Twice as handsome as a human brain can conceive. The Lady of the Lake, like all overambitious mothers, wanted her adopted child to have the best job in all the land. So she took Lancelot to Camelot to meet Queen Arthur. The Lady of the Lake brought Lancelot into the throne room, no doubt dripping water all over the floor as they went because they just scrambled out of the lake.
"You will take my child and make him a knight of your round table," announced the Lady of the Lake.
"Will I now?" said Queen Arthur.
"I have foreseen it," said the Lady of the Lake.
"Really?" said Queen Arthur. "It's funny how you always foresee things that suit yourself."
"I also foresee that you will do as you're told if you don't want me to steal your babies," said the Lady of the Lake.
Arthur rolled her eyes. Fine. It didn't make much difference to her. She liked to knight all the sillier men in her kingdom so she could make them sit around her round table where she could keep an eye on them.
"Come over here, then." Lancelot knelt before Queen Arthur. She took out her sword, Excalibur, the cake sword she'd pulled from the stone many years earlier, raised it high and said in her most important-sounding voice,
"I, Queen Arthur, Queen of all the Britons, dub you Sir Lancelot,"
with which she whacked him with the flat of the blade on each shoulder a little bit harder than she needed to.
"I shall be your best and bravest knight," declared Sir Lancelot.
"Okay," said Arthur, "but I already have a whole round table full of best and bravest knights. It'd actually be handy for me to have a knight who is sensible and level-headed, or good with figures and able to balance a spreadsheet. Do you think you could do something like that?"
"I shall dedicate myself to protecting your honour," said Lancelot. "I demand you give me the most important job of all your knights."
"You want to change the toilet roll in the bathroom?" asked Arthur.
Just then, Guinevere entered the room.
"Hey, Mum, try this," she said to Arthur. "I'm working on a new chocolate chip cookie recipe where each cookie contains 110% chocolate chips." Arthur took a bite.
"Oh, my gosh, that's amazing. How do you get the extra 10% in there? Surely the maximum anything can be is 100%. Well, I've developed a technique that compacts the molecular composition of chocolate chips. The trick is dropping a lead weight on them from a great height. Brilliant, said Arthur. Guinevere smiled with scholarly pride. But Lancelot had been watching this whole exchange, and as soon as he saw that smile, kapow, he fell in love at first sight.
I pledge myself to protecting that which you value most, said Lancelot. I shall be your daughter, Guinevere's faithful servant. I will devote my life to ensuring her safety.
We live in a castle, said Arthur. The walls are 4 feet thick. She spends most of her time in the library or the kitchen conducting important cookie research. She's pretty safe already.
I shall defend her honor against any slur. I shall avenge any slight against her. I shall remove any danger from her path, said Lancelot.
Guinevere's a scientist, highly respected throughout Europe, said Arthur.
I shall slay any cook who fails to provide her favorite dinner, continued Lancelot.
Arthur rubbed the bridge of her nose. Talking to Lancelot was giving her a headache. She turned to the Lady of the Lake. Can I take back the knighthood and persuade you to take him back to the lake with you?
No, too late. I entrust him to you, said the Lady of the Lake, hurrying out of the room. Okay, but could you refrain from kidnapping any more babies, raising them to be nincompoops, and then dumping them in my care? Arthur called after her.
And that is how Lancelot came to be at Camelot, said Nanny Piggins. After that, whenever a quest came up to slay a dragon, find a holy grail, defeat an evil glow-in-the-dark knight, Lancelot was always the first to volunteer. He became famous throughout the land for his extreme and often extremely foolish gallantry. Now, one day, Arthur had to go away on a business trip. She had to go and fight a war or something, so she summoned Lancelot. Okay, Lancelot, I'm off to England for a few weeks, said Arthur. I want you to mind the castle while I'm gone.
I shall protect Princess Guinevere from all assailants, said Lancelot.
Okay, but could you also water the indoor plants and feed the goldfish and shut the windows if it rains, that sort of thing, said Arthur.
I shall protect all that is yours with my life, said Lancelot.
I really just need you to put a pinch of fish food in the pond once a day, said Arthur. There's no reason for you to have a near-death experience.
If a dark knight should arise and prevent me from my task, said Lancelot, I shall sacrifice my life to see your fish are well fed.
Okay, whatever, said Arthur, and she rode off. Lancelot strode back to the castle to commence his duty. He called out to the steward in the lobby.
You there! Where is Princess Guinevere? I have been entrusted by Queen Arthur with the greatest quest of all, the protection of the princess herself.
Oh, no, you just missed her, said the steward. The dark wizard, Maleagant, just rode off with her.
What?
An evil wizardy-looking man. He just burst in and announced, I am the dark wizard Maleagant, and I'm here to kidnap the princess, explained the steward. Then he grabbed Guinevere, threw her onto his horse and rode off. Look, you can still see them.
Lancelot looked out the window, and he could indeed see the wicked wizard galloping up into the hills with Guinevere on his horse.
And you didn't stop them?
Well, there's a lot of dusting to do at the castle this afternoon, sir, said the steward. I don't have time to rescue kidnapped people as well.
I vow by my sword,
Lancelot drew his sword and held it aloft.
I shall rescue her. I shall not rest until Princess Guinevere is returned.
You know, he's getting further and further away while you pledge your vow, the steward pointed out.
So Lancelot jumped on a horse and took off, chasing after the wicked wizard. He rode day and night again, never stopping to rest or to eat, which was too much for the horse, and on the third day it dropped dead from exhaustion.
What? Exclaimed Samantha. Yes, they didn't have the RSPCA or Peter back then, in the ancient Celtic story days, said Nanny Piggins. So Lancelot found himself standing on the side of the road with his dead horse, watching the wicked wizard disappear into the far distance with his beloved Guinevere.
Oh no, what am I to do? Said Lancelot.
Well, couldn't he just run after them? Asked Derek. Actually, no, said Nanny Piggins. You see, in those days, knights wore lots of steel armour, which was really heavy. There was no way he could walk. He could maybe trudge a couple of metres, but then he'd need to sit down and take a rest. He definitely couldn't run anywhere.
So what did he do? Asked Eric. Well, Lancelot was standing there, despairing, when around the bend, a cart appeared. It was a rickety cart pulled by a donkey and driven by a troll.
Are you all right? Asked the troll. Your horse doesn't look well. Would you like me to rescue you and give you a ride in my cart?
You rescue me? Exclaimed Lancelot. You are a hideously ugly troll with a rickety cart and a mangy donkey. Whereas I am Lancelot, bravest and most handsome knight in all of Camelot. I am the favorite of Queen Arthur. I am defender of Princess Guinevere. I can't be seen to ride in a donkey cart driven by a troll.
Well, the donkey doesn't want to be seen pulling you along either, said the troll, but none of us have much choice in the matter.
It would be disgraceful to rescue the princess using such a shameful vehicle, said Lancelot.
She's been kidnapped. I don't think she's going to be picky about how you turn up, said the troll.
But it would be embarrassing for me, said Lancelot. What about my image? I'd never live it down if one of the other knights saw me in the back of such a grotty cart.
Well, what's more important, if you look good or if the lady gets rescued?
Oh, that's a tough one. Let me think about it. Is there an option C, all of the above?
No, said the troll.
This is a tricky question, said Lancelot, still considering. Can I call a friend?
It's rescuing the princess, said the troll. Rescuing the princess is more important. Just swallow your massive pride and get in the cart already.
All right, no need to yell, said Lancelot.
So Lancelot got in and they took off after the princess. They had many adventures along the way. Lancelot had to slay a wicked knight, rescue a flock of geese from a burning gorse bush, catch a fairy and put it in a jam jar, and crawl across a bridge made entirely out of sharp swords.
Who would make a bridge out of swords? Asked Michael.
I don't know, said Nanny Piggins. Probably one of those modern architects. They do have the most peculiar ideas. Eventually, after many days and many death-defying challenges, Lancelot and the troll arrived at the castle of the Wicked Wizard. The castle was surrounded by 200 guards, all dressed in black. Lancelot leapt out of the cart.
I am here to gallantly rescue Princess Guinevere. I shall slay anyone who stands in my way.
And he started fighting them all at once.
What, all 200 of them? Asked Derek.
Yes, well, I think I may have mentioned before that Lancelot was deeply silly. But to be fair, he did have fairy superpowers from eating all the fairy bread and fairy floss as a baby. So eventually, he fought his way into the castle, up the stairs, along a corridor, and all the way to the room where Guinevere was being held captive. And he kicked down the door.
I have come to rescue you, my lady, declared Lancelot. As the greatest and bravest knight in all of Camelot, I swore an oath to protect you. I have traveled far and vanquished many so that I may return you to Queen Arthur.
Really, said Guinevere, I heard you refused to get in a donkey cart.
Well, only for a few moments, said Lancelot. I did eventually get in the cart.
You were sworn to protect me, said Guinevere, yet you're too embarrassed to sit in a cart?
Well, yes, conceded Lancelot, but there was nothing in the oath about having to ride in an embarrassing donkey cart driven by really rude trolls.
Piffle to that, said Guinevere. I'm not coming with you.
But you have to, said Lancelot. I've been secretly in love with you since I first laid eyes on you. It's your destiny to let me save you so you can fall hopelessly in love with me and be torn between your true love for me and the dutiful love you have for your mother, Queen Arthur.
Really? Said Guinevere. And how are we getting back?
Well, I hadn't planned that far ahead, admitted Lancelot. There is a cart outside.
You mean the donkey cart driven by the troll? Asked Guinevere.
Yes, that's the one, said Lancelot.
Well, I could just ask the troll for a lift, said Guinevere. He's far more heroic than you. He had to put up with you for the last week. That must have taken unprecedented courage.
So Guinevere returned to Camelot, and Arthur offered to make the troll a knight of the round table. But the troll had the good sense to say no and accept a bag of 110% chocolate chip cookies as his reward instead. So happiness was restored, at least for 1 week, until Lancelot managed to find his way back. He'd eventually figured out that if he took all his armor off, he could walk. The end. Time for bed.
Wait, but when did Guinevere fall in love with Lancelot? Asked Samantha.
Oh, she didn't, said Nanny Piggins.
But all the storybooks say she did, said Samantha.
Yes, well, it turns out that Lancelot may have been foolish and deluded, but he was very good at writing stories. So he was the one who wrote the storybooks. And that's the best thing about writing storybooks. If you're the one who writes them, you can end them any way you like. Any way? Asked Michael. Oh, yes, in any way, said Nanny Piggins. And I personally like to end all my stories by having a nice slice of cake. In fact, let's do that now. And they did. And that is the end of the story. So that's it for this week. Thank you from everyone here at the Pump House Theatre in Auckland. And until next time, goodbye. Thank you.